What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Local Business Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Irving, here with you for another episode. My friend Kyle is joining me on this episode of the podcast, and we're going to talk a lot of things. We talk about quite a bit on this episode. We talk about what channels, restaurants, and local businesses should focus on. And then at the end, we kind of go a little bit of in or out. We say a platform, and we ask if you're in or you're out on it. So stay tuned for that and play along with us at home if you want to do that as well. You can find all the show notes for this episode and everything we mentioned in it at thebruceirving.com. Say hello to me on Instagram at thebruceirving. And don't forget, you can email me, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com. That's our other podcast. You know that if you listen to this one, and check us out there. I also want to know what you want to hear from. Email me, direct message me on Instagram. What podcasts or who should we have on this podcast that you would love to hear? Whether that be someone who specializes in something like Facebook ads or YouTube ads, email marketing, or if it's someone who owns a local business who's doing a tremendous job marketing themselves. Let me know who you would love to hear. I will reach out to them, get them on the podcast, and share their story with you right here on the Local Business Podcast. Hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. That very much helps the podcast. And that's it for me. Let's get into today's episode with Kyle, and we talk social media marketing. All right, welcome back to the podcast. My friend Kyle and Sarah is joining me on the podcast. He's a restaurant growth strategist, hospitality thought leader, commercial real estate advisor, podcast host, and my favorite content creator. Kyle, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, my friend.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me back. It's been a while.
It's been a minute. That's for sure. I think you're on. We do a couple different podcasts now. We do this Smart Pizza Marketing podcast. We also have a local business podcast. You were on the Smart Pizza Marketing podcast. I don't even know what episode it was because I didn't go back and listen to it, but I know it was a long time ago.
You know what? I was just listening to it. I want to say it was north of 100, but not very, it was like 102 or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. So we're going to delete those.
Never happened.
Yeah, never. If it's not on the podcast feed, it never took place.
There's a lot about that time period that I think didn't happen. So it's if it's good with you, it's good with me.
All right, cool. So you were a pizzeria restaurant owner. Now you're into commercial real estate. You're a content creator. You're a podcast host. You work with a lot of restaurants in all different genres. I'm excited to hear about what you're up to now. So for those listening to the podcast today with us, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
So right now I am no longer a restaurateur, officially sold a second concept that was born after our last podcast about 2-3 months ago. But right now I am a commercial real estate advisor at Saber Advisors here in New York that works with emerging restaurant brands. So basically brands that are looking to grow. I don't know if I lost you. There you are.
I'm here. I just put you on full screen.
Oh, okay. Sorry. No worries. That are looking to grow. So
I wanted the focus to be solely on you and not me drinking my water.
I'm good with that. Basically looking for brands that are looking to grow across the country. So we look for basically the basic criteria would be 3 to 5 units, strong brand presence, strong digital presence, and they are looking to take their existing audience and try to find it in other parts of the country.
Okay, excellent. And you do a lot of content creation. You have a podcast now yourself. What's the name of your podcast?
The National Restaurant Owners Podcast. And yeah, I when I stepped out of the restaurant industry into commercial real estate, I was like, okay, there's not a lot of people doing content. And when I first started, I was working for a big commercial real estate firm, CBRE, huge firm, like in the world, number one. And they were not too keen, let's just say, on me creating content. You know, they don't want some rogue broker jeopardizing their investments. So I'm now with a group that saw that and was like, we'd love for you to do that here. And it's really a way to connect with people in the industry. So, you know, people are like, oh, you're doing a podcast. That takes up a lot of time. And I'm like, well, I look at it that I'm having, you know, 3 or 4 conversations a week with people who are highly plugged into the restaurant industry that most likely would not pick up my call or respond to my email if I reached out and said, hey, I'd love to help you find a space. It doesn't work like that anymore. Yeah. So I started creating content as a way to generate brand awareness for myself.
I love podcasting. I think everybody should, let me take a step back. I don't know if everybody should start a podcast, but I think it's very valuable if you start a podcast with a specific intention of not making the podcast the business. I think a lot of people want to start a podcast to make money podcasting. And I think you can do that, but you have to be very good at it and you have to be very patient with it. The way you're doing it is you're using the podcast to kind of supplement the business, right? You're not using it as the business. And if you get sponsors, great. Like, that's a side benefit. But you're using it as a way to get people to talk to and really have conversations and be curious, like what I try to do with the podcast. And I think that's the best way to have a podcast, because then there's no pressure on you to monetize the podcast. If monetization comes, great. But it's no pressure on you to be like, oh no, I've been doing this podcast for a year and I'm not making any money on it, because that's not what your goal is.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, you nailed it. I mean, and really inspired by folks like you. I mean, definitely, you know, our experience there, I was like, wow, that was one of the first podcasts I was on. And then it started becoming like a thing and I was listening to more. And then, you know, I find out that people are listening to them more than I was. And then I sort of subscribed to the Gary Vee model, which was, you know, you, if you have the microphone, you can talk about it and you can be the, you know, expert of your field, and no one can really stop you. You can go out there and start talking about whatever you want to talk about. And if it sticks, then you'll find out if it's working. So
I love that too, because if you, and like, be yourself, because you know, not everybody's going to love you, and that's fine. If you continuously put out content and you're, I don't want to say authentic because I hate that word, but like genuine, you know, and you really, you try yourself. You're not a fake. You're not a phony on there. You're going to find the people who stick with you because they like your style. And the people who don't like your style, fantastic, because they probably wouldn't work with you anyway.
It's funny. That's exactly the reason why I wanted to do this podcast, because you can talk to people like, hey, yeah, you know, I've been in the restaurant business, and they're like, oh, you know, my uncle too used to be in the restaurant business. But yeah, with this, I am trying to, you know, open the door to another conversation. And I really feel like the only way to do that was to provide so much value. Like, no, this is what it's really like. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is what it's like. I've been through it. I made a lot of mistakes and I did a lot of things really well. And I feel like sometimes owners are hesitant to reach out and make themselves vulnerable to say, hey, I don't quite understand how this part of my business works, and can you help me? So I figured I'm going to put it here. You can put it on when you're doing the books or prepping in the back, and hopefully it helps you out.
You come at it from a different perspective too, because like myself, you were an owner. And it wasn't, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there or a lot of content creators that, and it seems to happen a ton in the bot space where it's, you know, these people who create bots or automated marketing, and they reach out to you on Instagram and they're like, hey, you know, you're a restaurant owner. I can help get you butts in seats. Butts in seats tends to be the word everybody uses when it comes to marketing. And none of those people have experience in the restaurant space. So all they're doing is trying to sell you a service, and they focused on the restaurant industry. Whereas you are doing a podcast in, you know what it's like to be an owner, and you know the ups and downs of operating a restaurant. So you're going to really come at it and ask questions that your audience wants to hear, because you've been at that for a long time.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the crux of it, right? Like, I can come up with topics to talk about that will just strike me because I'll see it somewhere and be like, hey, if you were doing this, like, don't do that. I did that and it didn't work out, or whatever the case is. But what somebody else brought up to me, which I never thought of, they were like, you're creating content, and you know, for your show as well. I mean, I listened to it on my own time. I'm not actively, oh, I better sit down and try to figure out how I can, you know, make my food costs lower, or how I can increase some efficiencies in my business where I have to sit down in front of a computer and Google it. I can just, you know, kind of be going about my day, listening to it, consuming it how I want to consume it. It's there. And that I think is a big part of it. And it lives there forever.
Yeah.
It's going on that you don't even know.
Yeah, people will find your podcast 5 years from now and be like, I listened to your podcast with Kyle in episode 102. I love it. Like, how'd you find it? I thought we deleted that one. We did a new one.
Exactly. Delete it. Don't listen anymore. But I mean, it's funny because it does live on forever, and you never know what sticks, whether it's a podcast or a post or a video. People will be like, I love that post you did about, you know, whatever. I'm like, I got to go back and look it up myself, because, that's what I really like about it, is that you can put out stuff to the world and they consume it on their own time.
All right, I'm going to throw something at you. I didn't talk about this before the podcast. I'm going to yell out a network, and we'll kind of discuss what your thoughts are on the network. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with LinkedIn, because I see you all over LinkedIn. You do a tremendous job of posting to LinkedIn. Seriously, you really do. I see you all the time.
Thank you.
I'm not so good at it. What do you think of LinkedIn? I know you like it for yourself, but what about for pizzeria owners, restaurant owners, local business owners? Do you think that's a platform they should be creating content on?
I mean, I wouldn't put too much of your focus on it. I personally don't think. If you're looking to find somebody like me, or you're looking to get information about a particular landlord or a property or a service,
yeah,
there's some great like connection tools to get to the people you need to get to on there. But as far as posting your content, I think you should be on there. Like, even if you own the pizzeria in town, I think that's a great idea. Like, put your name out there. Here's who I am, wearing your branded shirt and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely looking for you. Like, maybe you're not, you need to be there to make yourself, your presence for yourself or your brand top of the line. But there are people in your local market who will go to LinkedIn, like, hey, who's the guy that owns XYZ Pizzeria? You know, on your website, it's info@pizzeria.com or whatever. But if you put in there like, hey, Steve@pizzeria.com, what, I mean, maybe you don't want to be reached out to, but if you are in the market for that, you can put that and you can toggle it on and off. But I think that's why it would be important for you. But I think for posting, I think you're better off on other platforms. For
yeah,
sure.
It's because they get the question all the time. And, I'm sure you get it as well. What platform should I be? All over the place. There's so many different contradicting theories about marketing, and should you be on every platform, or should you really stick to a couple and really be good at or great at a few versus mediocre at a lot? And yeah. I agree with you on LinkedIn. Unless you're the only time I would say LinkedIn is good is if you're trying to like either franchise, maybe you have a franchise and you're trying to grow that franchise or build up your personal brand to do for other opportunities and you have time to do that. Maybe LinkedIn is a place for that. But just as your business itself, as a local place, I don't know if I would spend a ton of time doing. It's like Twitter almost.
Yeah, exactly. And I had that exact conversation with the guy who's sort of like he's a brand specialist, and I asked him that same question, and he was like, well, where do people find you now? And like, he's like, where do you find the bulk? And then I had to do a little bit of homework. I don't really pay attention to if I got a lead from LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. I just know that it probably came from social, or I'll just reach out, and I wasn't tracking it. He's like, well, once you know that, then that's where you know you should be focusing your attention.
Yeah. I find myself like for smart pizza marketing, and for me personally, working in like chunks. I'll like get into LinkedIn for like a month or two, and then I'll forget about it for a month or two.
Yeah. I'm currently on again, off again relationship with LinkedIn. I'm currently basically off LinkedIn right now. I don't know. It's not fun to me. And I know I should be there professionally, but it's just not as fun.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm like, I get bored with it pretty easily. I like Instagram. I still use Facebook because I use Facebook groups, and I still post and do videos to Facebook. And Twitter for me, I like it because, well, you know what? Forget that. Forget about me. Let's go back into what I was asking you. All right, let's go to the next one. Instagram. Right. What are your thoughts on Instagram?
I think it just recently got a lot more interesting with the video. How they're going to pump out more videos to try to compete with TikTok, and how they should be entertaining.
Yeah,
I think that opened things up because I do both. So I've been testing basically. I like the editing features on TikTok better than I do on Reels or any kind of third party application where I would record on my phone and post.
Yes.
But it used to be something like literally something stupid that I would post on TikTok, whether it be real estate related or just being goofy or just who knows what, would get like 20,000 views. And I don't have that many followers. I have like 8,000 followers.
Right.
And now they tweak their algorithm and it gets like 300 views.
Yeah, it's tough now.
But now Instagram is the TikTok. Now you're getting 3, 4, 5, 6, 10,000 views on those videos. So, you know, it's again that Gary Vee thing, like you just try it and you get the skill set and then you're able to adapt to whatever comes next.
So you're into Instagram. You like it right now.
Yeah. So basically I use Instagram for, you know, my personal brand. And I've made it a little bit more stylized in that now people are like, hey, well, they want to see that you get branding and what you look like. So I've had a little bit more, and I'm not a huge fan because now it's like forcing me to do things, but I'm like a slave to the algorithm, but I want it to look good. So when, you know, there is a certain look factor that you have to have in commercial real estate, people want not just see you cursing and swearing about your experience in the restaurant business.
Right.
So I've just now made it more of like, you can find out more about my brand on here.
Yep.
But I do like it. It's the most approachable, I think.
Do you have like a schedule, or do you come up with your ideas that you do? Just like when you think of something, you're like, all right, either write it down or you just create it right then and there.
I have, this is funny. I have this book right here that is strictly for ideas. So it's blue. So it reminds me like, hey, this is my content idea book.
Okay.
Because I've been down all through those processes, like your content pillars and where your platform is. And even what I just said to you about where my audience is, I plan like 10% of my posts. The rest, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta post something. And my wife is like yelling at me because I'm at the dinner table, like on Canva on my phone, like trying to fix something. I do the same thing. But yeah, they're like, well, just create a schedule and this. I'm like, but when I wrote that was a good idea, I don't know, not as passionate as it is about what I just found out about 5 minutes ago.
It's so true. You know, I'm 100% with you. I've gone through the schedulers. I've gone through the platforms that schedule your posts ahead of time. And every single time, and I'm not saying you should follow my example because it's probably not the right example to follow. But every time, like you just said, I'll post something and I'll come up with that schedule and I'll schedule it out. And then it posts because I scheduled it out. And I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like,
yeah,
that's probably stupid. I should just delete that. And then I end up deleting it and coming up with something else. Or, you know, something happens in the moment or I have an idea and I'm like, this is the direction I want to go in. And I post something and then it posts something right after. So I don't know. I feel like you should have some schedule backups just in case you don't have, you have those like creativity brain fart moments where you just can't think of anything. But I like to do it in the moment too.
Something I just saw that I think maybe would work for some people, and I've yet to try it for me, but they're like, don't do like, okay, so you're going to do your week of content, right? Let's just say for Instagram.
Yeah.
Pick all the pictures or do all the videos and then do all the captions and then do all the hashtags and who you're going to tag. Don't try to do post, caption, hashtag every day, doing post, caption, hashtag. Like, I guess your brain, the theory is your brain works better. It's sort of like mise en place, right?
Yeah.
Like, cut the onions in half before you start slicing them across. Like, cut them all in half first and then cut them, then slice them all across, instead of like cut them in half, slice. That's the way I think of it. Like I said, I've yet to do it, but in my brain, that makes the most sense.
Yeah. You know what I've been doing lately too, is I've been using Twitter as kind of a testing ground for content. So I'll have an idea. Maybe it's a thought or something that I talk to someone like you about. Maybe I'll do this podcast and I'll pick something out that you said and I'll be like, you know what? That's a great example, and try to write a post on Twitter about it. And I'll post it to Twitter and then I'll see how it does. And if it gets some engagement, I don't have a huge following on Twitter either. So if I get, you know, 3 to 6 likes or a share or a reshare on a post, to me, that's working pretty well. Cause my following on Twitter is not that big. I'm like, all right, that worked out pretty good. Then I'll maybe create a piece of a video based on that tweet, or I'll create a post on Instagram based on that tweet because I know it kind of did well. If it goes crickets on Twitter, it's probably not going to do well on anywhere else.
But that's another good thing, is that you have a like an A/B testing kind of thing, and then you have that this is the topic.
Yeah.
And then I can put it, you know, for each different platform, I can make it more relevant.
Exactly.
That's a good thing to do, but again, I don't do that either.
Yeah, that's just something I've been doing recently. Like, I'll come up with an idea, I'll post it to Twitter, and then if it does well, maybe I'll make a video for Facebook or take a picture of something that's relevant to that and write something for Instagram that's a little bit longer, because you can write a longer post there. It seems to be working out pretty well. I mean, I don't know if I'd suggest that for a restaurant, but if you're a restaurant, maybe go back, and I always tell people this, like, go back on your old content and see, because sometimes we're like, post, and we just like, all right, it post. All right, it worked well. It didn't work well. And then you just go to the next day, you post. Oh, it worked well. It didn't work well. Like, go back and look. There'll definitely be a pattern of posts, regardless of what platform it is, that worked well.
And I think if you're on, I forget, if you're on one of these platforms, one like content creator or business, whatever, one of them, maybe it's all of them, they just added that feature where they'll actually do that for you.
Oh, so really?
I think it's like if you go, don't quote me, I'm not really that, I don't really remember, but if you one of the settings and you go to analytics, you can see, and depending if you want to see like likes, comments, shares, whatever had the most. So I did that the other day as I was talking to somebody, and it was blatant. Like, the ones that were shared the most were the ones that were like those carousels, informational type stuff.
Yeah.
But the ones that were liked the most all the time were like me and my wife. They're like hundreds of likes.
Yes.
Just that. So I don't know. I guess she's incorporating that more than ever.
I heard that You're right. I've heard that if you want likes, it should be personal, right? Like a picture of you and your wife. That's what gets the most likes. Mm-hmm. If you want shares, like people aren't going to share a picture of you and your wife. They're going to like it, but they're not going to share it.
Yeah.
Right. They're not going to be like, hey, go take a, I just like this picture of Kyle and his wife. You should look at
these two guys drunk on the beach. Yeah,
perfect. That'd be awkward, right?
Yeah.
But weird. If it's content that's informational, like you said, the carousel posts, those are going to get the shares because that's information people will want to reshare with people that they would find helpful. So I'm with you on that. All right. Next platform, Clubhouse, which is a new platform, audio only right now. I think it's still invitation only, but it's much easier to get an invitation now than it was 6 months ago.
Well, I think the key to their success.
Yeah.
Or they're at least, you know, that explosive kind of like growth was that, oh, I want one. What the hell is this? Give me one invitation. Yeah.
That's what I said. I wanted one. I wanted to get into Clubhouse. You know, I think I hopped on early January this year and I was in there a lot, January, February. So, you know, I live in the Northeast. It's cold, not much to do outside. What are your thoughts on Clubhouse today?
I've softened on it a bit. I was really hot on in the beginning because I do think it's another sort of space. Again, for the commercial real estate, there's not a lot of people putting out content.
Yes.
But for some reason, you know, it turns out that they're not so hot on putting out content that's video or getting real creative. But they'll get in front of their phone and talk for an hour. But what I do like about it is that it's networking in real time.
Yeah.
Right? So that's pretty cool. But just with everything else, I find it hard to squeeze in. So I have one that I do a week. That's a real estate one with a couple of people that I work with. And I'm not listening as often because frankly, people are not that entertaining. And I think they're finding out that it's not that easy to talk in front of a microphone and keep people engaged.
I agree.
And so I go into these rooms. I'm like, this is a commercial. I'm listening to this guy for 15 minutes, talk about his bit. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think it's people are finding when they're not getting, you know, 50, 80, 100 thousands of people in a room anymore, they're like, maybe I'm not that great at this.
Yeah, right? You know, Guy Clark, who runs Restaurant Marketing Group on Clubhouse, is pretty into Clubhouse. Great guy,
too. Yeah.
He's a really good networking guy, and I'm going to hopefully get him on the podcast soon. We've been talking about it. He's hot on
You can do, you used to not be able to record, but now it's like you have to let people know they're recording. Yeah. So I don't know. I think so. The broker that I work for, Sabre, they record it and then put it out as their podcast.
That's what I was talking to him about because he was asking me. He's like, "Hey, I want to start a podcast." I'm like, "Dude, you do really good rooms on Clubhouse. You have to because, you know, the pro." I'm gonna give you some goods about Clubhouse that I like first before I bash it. I'm gonna give you.
I didn't think you were that hot on it.
No, I'm gonna give you a pro about Clubhouse. I think the people that you could get in touch with or network with are amazing on Clubhouse because you're not gonna be able to. And for people like that don't have a podcast that are just regular consumers to talk to someone who owns a multi-million-dollar franchise or someone who's the head of marketing for Taco Bell, you can hop in a room with, connect with them, and even have a conversation with. Right? You don't need a podcast. That's the pro.
Yeah.
The cons for me are. There's no real vetting process. You click on everybody's bio on a Clubhouse and everybody has the best bio in the history of bios. There's not one bio on there that looks shitty. You know, everybody.
Yeah. Well, you should see the real estate ones are terrible. Yeah. How many houses they sell? Yeah, it's crazy.
It's amazing, right? Everybody has a great bio. Yeah, so you don't really know who you're listening to. Mm. But I was talking to a guy and he runs the restaurant marketing room and he has amazing rooms. Mm-hmm. But I say, Guy, I hopped in the room 40 minutes after you started it, and now I've just missed 40 minutes of a great room. Like, you got to record that. That's the difference between Clubhouse and a podcast is if someone hops on this podcast that you and I are recording right now, and we say something amazing, I don't know if we've said anything amazing yet. At least I haven't, but you have. If we say something amazing, they can go back and rewind, right?
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're saying. It lives on forever. You can go and use it as you want to use it. Yeah.
Right. On Clubhouse, it dies. And then you're like, oh, that was the best conversation I had with the guy who shared all his secrets to marketing for Taco Bell. And we just, it's gone forever.
Yeah, I was super engaged, but now I have no idea what he said. It reminds me of the old school. We used to have Mike and the Mad Dog here in New York. And I was like, it reminds me of that. It's like these sports talk radio show and people get on there, but If you just think this is going to be a fun thing, this will go off the rails and you're going to get people jumping on stage because you think they're going to talk about whatever and they just wind up like they just take over your whole show.
Yeah.
But it's definitely more of a, people are realizing that it's more of a It's work.
Yeah, totally.
It's not. I mean, if you're using it for business, you got to come across professional. If it's not clear, concise, and what the room is actually about, it can go sideways real quick. Guy is great. Sean Walshev is great.
Yep.
A couple other guys. Jensen is great. They can hold the show and they hold the line, which is not easy to do. And I think that's what everyone's learning.
You need a good room moderator, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes the difference is, like, you and I having this conversation, and it's just you and I. There's no distractions other than our own distractions. Like, it's just you and I. We're talking. Yeah. We're thinking about what we're going to say, and you're going to listen to it later. On Clubhouse, people hop on stage and, like, all right, I have a question. We're talking about Instagram marketing. Anybody have a question about Instagram marketing? They'll hop up on stage, and you hear their life story before they get to their question about Instagram marketing. Yeah, and I'm like, dude,
their what favorite are you doing? Color. Yeah. Exactly.
You just asked a question that could have been asked in 10 seconds. It took you 8 minutes.
Exactly. It takes so long. They get up there and they'll say, oh, I want to go back to what somebody said 10 minutes ago. You're like, right. No, this train is going forward. And then you're like, I can't be a dick, because then I'm there going to be like, never going to want to come in this room again.
Oh, but I'm a dick.
Yeah, you have to be.
Yeah.
You have to be like, yeah.
I interrupt people. That's why I'm not on Clubhouse, because people probably wouldn't like it. Because I'm like, as soon as they start to get, what's your question? Let's get into it right now.
Yeah,
let's get to the point.
My favorite pizza is, okay, we got it.
But listen, I think that being said, I know that it sounds like I don't love Clubhouse. I do think it's, if you have time, it's a decent place to, like, network with people, for sure.
Yeah, and you know what, I'll tell you what it's good is, it allows you to, it's the only platform, well, TikTok does too, but you can link your Instagram to it.
Yeah.
So I've gotten a lot of leads and contacts from people like, hey, I just heard you on Clubhouse, because you can't do a direct reach out on Clubhouse unless you get on stage, right?
Right.
So they go to your Instagram, they follow you, they send you a message, and it has led to business and great networking opportunities for me. But it is good for that. I think it's worth having a presence there in some way. Jump in a room, say something, and leave. That's the other part. Just get out of there if you don't like it.
It is more time consuming than any other platform, though, because you do have to spend the physical time in there.
Oh, yeah.
Versus thinking of an idea and then posting it and then coming back to it later and seeing how it did.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I do think that, and there's not a lot, if you're a restaurant owner, I don't think you're going to find customers on there, but you can definitely hear some good advice or ask some questions to some people, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to find customers, but I think definitely connect with, for people to find you on there and to talk off topic on just your thoughts on something else is going on. I think, that's value. And I think that's what they should be looking for, stuff like that.
Yeah. But Guy, if you're listening to this podcast, record your damn Clubhouses, will you?
Yeah. For the love of God, will you?
You're talking to hundreds of people when you could be talking to thousands of people.
Every time I go on there, he's on there too. So I'm like, I'll check this out.
He runs pretty good rooms.
Yeah. He does a great job, and he seems like he knows everybody in the room too. Yeah. Like, he'll remember them from others. But I guess that's what happens from hosting basically like a radio show every day.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good idea. That's a good way to put it. I think that is it's like a public radio show, because radio stations probably record it, but if you're listening to it, you don't.
No, you're driving them. Yeah. He's got it locked down. He does a great job.
Excellent. All right. Next one. TikTok.
I love TikTok.
I love it too. But I'm not that good at it.
You know, it's what's funny is what TikTok is. The worst thing about TikTok is the name. Like, just to say, like, you're like, what? You're a 44-year-old guy on TikTok. But the reality is, same thing. I get people who reach out to me on LinkedIn who don't feel comfortable reaching out on TikTok because they don't post anything. So they're like, oh, hey, I saw this on TikTok, blah, blah, blah. But it is good for it's wide open, or it was more wide. It is, depending on what niche you're in. I mean, if you're going to be, a kid just dancing on there, it's going to be a challenge, but you can carve a niche for yourself and people are finding you. But it's just fun. You know what I mean? It's not like, doesn't feel like work. It feels like fun, and it's very engaging.
Yeah. How long have you been on TikTok? You've been on TikTok for a while. I think didn't we connect on TikTok originally?
We may have, probably. I started a long time ago, and it was really just as a goof to mess with my daughter. But, oh, you're on TikTok? I'm on TikTok too. So look at this, look at my TikTok dance. And then things started happening, and a guy that my buddy Eddie Gonzalez out in Phoenix, he's like, hey, I'm thinking to start posting like commercial real estate content on TikTok. And now he literally, he's in Phoenix.
Yep.
And all he does is Phoenix. Nothing else, not Scottsdale, not Mesa, not anything. Everything in Phoenix every detail about each building, each tenant, where he's eating, all the, everything is there. He's got about 30,000 followers, wow, and he's getting leads like for people to sell 30,000 square foot build. Like he's getting real business from TikTok.
What's his name again?
Eddie Gonzalez.
I'm gonna look him up on TikTok after we get off of this because that's very interesting.
Yeah, he had somebody the other day fly in to meet him from somewhere like Dallas or somewhere, and just say, "I'm such a fan of yours."
Really?
He's a commercial real estate agent. And I work in commercial real estate, and I want to see what you do. And they just basically showed him what he does, and yeah, that's it. That's. But his whole thing is that, and he repurposes some stuff. He does a lot of cool drone videos, so that helps. But yeah, I love it. It's I think restaurants dominate on TikTok.
I think the number one, if you think of, so first of all, you have kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my kids are 19, 18, and 14, and mm-hmm. they are on TikTok all the time. And if you ask them who the most famous person they know is, it's probably going to be somebody from TikTok or YouTube.
Yeah.
They don't even know who Tom Cruise is. I'm like, "Who, you know who Tom Cruise is?" They're like, "Who's Tom Cruise?" I'm like, "You know, the movies your mom always takes you to go see."
Yeah.
Like, "Yeah." I'm like, "That's Tom Cruise." "Oh, that's Tom Cruise?
Oh, that guy."
That guy who jumps, he's like 80 and he runs really fast still.
That non-TikToker?
Yeah. But they are on TikTok. So if you're trying to reach younger generation anyway, they're on TikTok. Yeah. And food is like so easy to produce content about food, and it goes so far.
Oh my God. I'll tell you a story. There's a restaurant here called Taco Daddy in Stanford, and they are friends of mine. He used to be part of the Fortina group.
Yeah.
You know, those guys. So, he got this smoke gun for cocktails that you can only get like in Spain or something. And he was just messing around with it. And they started making these smoke bubbles and putting them on top of their cocktails. And they had one where they literally just made two like martini type glasses with the smoke bubbles on top of them. And they put them together and it created one smoke bubble and they're shooting bubbles all over the restaurant and catching them. Hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok to the point now where he's like, because of our social media presence, we're not looking to open up additional locations regionally. We can now, people know us all over the place. So we can bring this vibe to another city. Like we can go to Chicago, we can go to Atlanta because people recognize our social media content. And I think that was like a huge eye opener for me.
Yeah.
Like you can, even if you're hyper local, just hammer in like your hashtag for your hometown or your zip code or your area code, hammer it on TikTok and people will find you.
You know, too, the other thing that 2020 taught us is that, you know, shit can happen at any moment.
Yeah.
Where people can't come to your restaurant and a lot of the people who own restaurants or pizzerias or local businesses are like, "All right, I want to do social media, but how do I know? How do I know that the customers are going to come into my area?" You know, like
you've heard that question.
Yeah, before. They ask that question all the time. And then I'm like, "Great, you know, who cares, right? Like, if someone is watching you and they don't live in your area, yes, ideally they're not your main customer. But in 2020, nobody could be your customer unless you mailed them something. So all the people that I know that maintained business or grew, either that be through mailing stuff or coming up with other content that they could sell or products that they could sell, had those large followings of people who weren't just in their town. They were all over the world.
Yeah. And
TikTok gives you that ability. I think it's the only platform that gives you the ability to reach people all over, because then when you have an audience that's rather large, you can come up with ways to sell them stuff and it doesn't have to be just in your restaurant.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's just a matter of like, you know, Nike makes ads to reach people all around the world or people who don't have Nikes and do have Nikes. Right. Like, I want to just show you, restaurant owners get frustrated, right? They're like, they have no idea how much time went into this dish and it didn't sell. Well, maybe if you showed me, like take me on a video to where you got it, how you prepared it, what actually goes into it. That's the stuff. It's the behind the scenes stuff. That's what people want to see. And I think that's, you started to see it like bubble to the surface during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that stuff to me is gold. It definitely has faded away, which is unfortunate, but I think that stuff is really cool.
I think there's still opportunity, you know, even though people 2020 showed people that they need to create content for social media. I still don't think enough people do.
No, I mean, I mean, it faded away in terms of people doing it. I think the interest has never been higher. I personally would love to see a guy going and just, there was a restaurant here that was like, "This is our favorite dish. You guys all love it. Here are the ingredients. Here's how we're going to make it." Well, here are the ingredients. Boom, 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 boom. It was a cool picture of the top down ingredients. And then they said, on Friday, we're going to be on Instagram Live and we're going to cook it. So you can get all this stuff, shows you the brand and all stuff. And then Friday, tune in here, we're going to make it. And that's exactly what they did. And they crushed.
Yeah. That's a great, easy thing to do too. Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to be on camera. Have your chef do it. Or if some of you, if you're not somebody who wants to be on camera, like you said, just show the video of like the top down of you cooking the ingredients and all you see is your hands.
That's the best. I mean, and then they get to see the personality of the chef or whoever's doing it. Like, hey, this is me. This is how I cook it. You don't get to see me too often or whatever the case is. This is how we make the dish. You're just going to have to show that you put a quarter stick of butter in it every time. That's the
only thing. I know people don't realize that with restaurants, right? Like you never can quite recreate it at home because you never want to put all that butter in. You're always you know what?
The sauce is a little off. Yeah, you're missing a pound of butter. That's why.
That's so true.
I forgot to leave that out.
Oh, my God. All right, let's recap to end this because I don't want to take too much of your time.
Yeah, man.
Let's play a little game of in or out, okay? I'm going to say a platform. I know we went through them already. You tell me if you had to choose one, in or out. Okay. Let's go through LinkedIn for restaurants, not for you personally, but for restaurants. LinkedIn.
For restaurant brands, out. Yeah.
All right. Instagram.
In.
With you. Clubhouse.
Out. Too much time.
Yeah, I agree. Twitter.
Out. I could literally put on Twitter a major world event that just happened, no one would respond to because I have no presence whatsoever.
I don't think restaurants should spend time on Twitter. Take too long. Unless you have multiple locations and you're worldwide or something like that.
I do love like what Wendy's and Chipotle do on Twitter. It's really funny.
I agree.
But I think they have a different leverage than the local guy.
Totally. Facebook.
I think you have to be there.
I agree. What about something we didn't talk about? Email. In or out on email?
I think email out, texting in.
We'll have to talk about texting and like automation on another podcast because I think you're right about that.
But that's that weird stuff though that people have to opt in. Like you can't just like get numbers and like blast people out. There's like a crime. Like go to jail. I don't know what it is, but you can't do it. Yeah. But that I think it's just a captive way and like you know tied in with your loyalty program or something would be great.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a lot of loyalty programs that you can look at like Chipotle or Tropical Smoothie who do a great job of incorporating texting with email with their app, right? And if you can incorporate all three of those things, I think they can really work out for you if people opt in.
Yeah, right. That's it. You have to opt in everything. I mean, all of that, including the what you're talking about, the Tropical Smoothie and Chipotle stuff, is your digital presence needs to be so top of line. However you do it and just be consistent with it and come with it, people will find you.
What's the number
one? If you don't do it, you're screwed.
Yeah. What's the number one question people ask you about marketing or content?
I think for me, usually it's like, how do you do this? How do you do that? But for like restaurants, I think it's more like they're so caught up in just taking the pictures and posting it. They don't get the whole, they're like, they know what they should do, but I totally get it. You don't have time to really invest in that, but I think you got to put some thought into figuring out who can just maybe make the light bulb go off for you.
Yeah.
It could be somebody who works for you. It could be a friend of a friend. A buddy I know, just to make a correlation, he's like 35 years in commercial real estate. He's the most old school, traditional yellow pad and paper commercial real estate agent you'll ever hear about. He's like, I know I need to do this. I just, like, he can't jump into the pool. Like, he's got his bathing suit on and he's ready to jump in, but he can't do it. So we reached out to his daughter at the University of Maryland. Yeah. He said, do me a favor, put something up online or wherever you guys communicate in your sorority, like 200 girls in the sorority, and let them know that I'm hiring a social media intern for the summer.
Oh, that's smart.
He had like 30 applications in 2 hours. And now he's got two girls that he's working and helping. And it's noticeable. It's instantly, it clicked for him, what they need him to do. They drag him when they need him to do it.
Yep.
Like, hey, I need you to do this.
And they can tell him, right? Like, they tell him what he needs to do. Like, they go, hey, you got to do it this way.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that you can tell are not comfortable doing it, but they're out there doing it. I think that's the first step is just kind of just do it.
Yes.
Go out there and get in there.
You're going to get better at it as you go. As long as you stick with it and you're patient and your expectations are low on what you're going to get out of it in the beginning,
yeah,
you'll definitely improve over time.
Yeah, I mean, it's that old, it's the old Gary Vee push-up analogy, right?
Yeah, that's right.
My push-ups, I'm going to be able to do 10 push-ups the rest of my life unless I get to practice.
Right. So do you work with people all over the country?
All over the country, yeah.
Where can they go follow you on social media, or if they have a question or something they want to talk to you about, where should they go?
Definitely Instagram's the best. But second to that is I have my own texting platform that would require you to opt into it, but it's 914-996-4569.
Okay. What was that one more time?
914-996-4569.
Okay. And Kyle and Sarah on Instagram.
Yeah, on everything. TikTok too. You see, that's where we'll really get to know each other on
TikTok. I will link up. Yeah, I'm gonna link up all that. Your Instagram, your text, your TikTok as well on the show notes for this episode. If they have an email, if they're old school and they want to email you, do you do that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do. It's a weird one. It's in Sarah, INSERRA at Sabre, SABRE.life.
Okay, cool. We'll link that one up in the show notes for this episode as well. Kyle, it's always awesome. Great to talk to you. I appreciate you joining me on the podcast here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kyle, for joining me on the podcast. Go over to thebruceirving.com for all the show notes. We'll link up Kyle on TikTok and Instagram and all that good stuff over there. You don't forget to shoot me a direct message and tell me what you want to hear on the podcast at thebruceirving over on Instagram. Follow on Facebook as well. And we'll see you right back here next week on the Local Business Podcast. Have a great week, everybody.